roll.
So this year, Partov Shen Peivav, 2026, Parshas Chukas and Balak are together. So we're going to concentrate on Parshas Balak. We all know the famous story of Bilam. He's hired to try to go ahead and to curse Klal Yisrael. Nothing else has worked, so the Melech Moav goes ahead and goes to the secret weapon of Bilam for him to curse the Jewish people. So after the Moav sends its messengers to entice Bilam to come. Vayomer Elokim al Bilam leisedekim ohem leisar salam ki varuchu. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Bilam. Now remember, Bilam is the greatest prophet of the non-Jewish people. And he speaks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Speaks to him. So he tells him, no, you're not allowed to go with him. So, Vayochem Bilam Abayim, Vayomer El Sarai Balak, Chuel Arzachem. Balak, Bilam gets up the next morning, says, sorry, God said I can't go. So they come back to Balak Malach Moav and say, sorry, he said no. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and up the ante. Rather than sending the assistant secretary of state, I'm going to send the secretary of state himself and try to go ahead and entice Bilam to go ahead and to come to curse the Jews. They come back and said, listen, Balak says you can't refuse. And in effect, he says to Balak, name your price. I'll give you great honor. And whatever you ask for, just go ahead and agree to come. Vayan Bilam, Bilam says, I'm sorry, I have to check with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And besides, im tiktein li balak malay beisei kesev azov lo yuchal lavor es pi Hashem alakoy. And even if Balak will give me a house full of gold and silver, I can't come if God doesn't let me. Now, of course, Bilam is nobody's fool, and he happens to drop the line, if you'll give me a house full of gold and silver, I can't do that if God doesn't let me. By the way, he gets in over there what his price is like. So, but if God says no, God says no. So what happens? Vayavay Elokim al Bilam Laila, Vayam Elay in Likwe Lechabo Anashim Kum Lechitam. So it seems that God is changing his mind. Because when the first group of messengers came, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, you can't go. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, Im likwe lecha bo anoshim kum lechi tom vaches adavor asher ader lecha elecha isas haseh. If they're coming for you, okay, you're allowed to go. Just, you have to say what I want, what I put in your mouth. Question is, so Rashi over here says, what do these words mean? In likwe lecha bo anoshim, if they're coming to call you. I mean, that's what was happening in the beginning. They're coming for you. So what does this mean? In likwe lecha bo anoshim, if they're coming to call you. So Rashi goes ahead and explains. Im hakriya shelcha, if this is about you, v'sover atal litol ale oschar, then you're going to make money off of this. Then kum lechitam. The difference between the first time and the second time is, the first time there was no talk of money. Now that they're offering you whatever you want, im sava atalitala schar, okay, then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, then you're allowed to go. The Ribbono Shel Olam is worried about Bilam's parnasa. The first time they didn't mention money, oh no, you can't go. But now that you're going ahead and they're offering you money and you can make money off of this, then you can go. What on earth is the pshat in that? God is certainly not interested in the financial well-being of Bilam. So I once heard or read in the name of Rav Shimon Schwab, Zichrono Livracha, I think a beautiful understanding of what difference does it make whether you're getting paid or you're not getting paid. And Rav Schwab's thesis was that one of the most powerful forces in the world is the force of lishma. When you're doing things for the sake of the thing itself, without ulterior motives, without anything like that. When people are lishma, when they're committed to a cause or to a purpose, that's a very, very powerful force. And Rav Schwab, in fact, gave a historical example of that. You know, the communist movement started in the late 1800s, into the 1900s, into the 20th century. And at one time, there were more than a billion people who were adherents of the communist theory. But the fathers of communism, Lenin, Marx, Trotsky, who, by the way, some of them were Jewish, when they started communism lishma, for the right reason, for not their own covet. They did it lishma, because they sincerely believed that communism was a better system than capitalism. Capitalism, you can have people that have that million-dollar yachts, and you can have people that are so poor that they have to beg. You can have people flying in private planes at $25,000 an hour, and you have people that have to take the Greyhound bus because they can't afford anything else. They can't even afford the gas. And therefore, these progenitors, the fathers of the communist movement, said, we are going to improve the world. We're going to make the world a better place to live, where there's more equality, and people are, everybody is at the same level. That's a very noble thought. And that is why Rabbi Schwab suggests, why he was so successful. Because they were doing things lishma. I'm not going to say the word l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, but for the sake of something that seemed to them to be the right thing to do. And that is a very, very powerful force. Why communism eventually fell apart is because as time progressed, the lishmoniks, the people that were in it for the right reasons, had all died out. And now the people, leaders of the communist parties, were lining their own pockets. And the whole lishmo that has to be egalitarianism, it has to be equal, everybody the same, that's eventually fell by the wayside. And all these communist dictators, while everybody was eating potatoes, they were eating caviar and drinking vodka and having Swiss bank accounts. And that's why Rabbi Schwab suggests it eventually collapsed on its own weight, because the lishma was gone. Rabbi Schwab even writes that he remembered that in his city in Germany, there was a parade for communism, and there was one bacher, there one boy from the Jewish community that was in the head of the march, and he was mamish lishma, l'shem shamayim, this is the right thing. Of course, he had left Yiddishkeit, but that's the way it was in the beginning. When that fell to the wayside and it became just everybody out for themselves, the movement collapsed. And that is how Rabbi Schwab explained the difference between the first time and the second time. When Balak is coming, is asking you to come and to curse the Jewish people because of the mitzvah of eradicating the Jewish people. They hate the Jewish people so much that they'll go ahead and use this secret weapon of Bilaam to go ahead and to destroy them. For what reason? Because they hate Jews. That was their lishma. That was their singular reason for doing this. So the Rebbe Hashem said, Bilaam, no, you can't go. Because if you will curse them like that for the sake of the purpose of getting rid of the Jews, that could be powerful. But once they went ahead and offered you money, im likra l'cha bo anoshim, or as Rashi says, v'sovrat alit ole oschar, then it's a job, it's for your own, line your own pockets, then geg is unto hate, because you will lose that tremendous power of lishma, of doing it for the right reasons. For the single reason of because you think it's the right thing. And that's what changed between the first time and the second time, which is a reason and a lesson for all of us how important it is when you go ahead and you undertake something, you should do it lishma, not for your own covet, self-aggrandizement, not for any other ulterior motive, but do it lishma. Do it for the sake of the thing itself. That's a powerful force.